Well, Coach, take me through that win over Clemson last night, a first half where both teams were kind of feeling each other out there defensively, and then you were able to come out, and Alan Griffin with a great second half, and one of your better defensive performances of the season.
Yeah, we were really good on the perimeter in the first half especially, and inside. Marek, he's a guy that doesn't score and has a great game for you. You know, he's got a bad finger and he's struggling just to get out there to play. But he was tremendous defensively. He covers the corners. The thing with him, when they go with the four guards or three guards and a small forward and one center, they play four guys in out. And when you have four guys out like that, you have to cover the corner with a center. And Marek can do that. And Jesse can't get that yet. You know, he's 7'1". It's hard for him to do that. That's understandable. And it's why, you know, he doesn't play a lot in certain situations. We need him, and especially a game like North Carolina, two big guys. He doesn't have to cover the corner. He's very effective in that game, but not so much against a smaller team like the Bryants and people like that we played early in the year. He doesn't cover the corner very well, and that's something that, you know, when we don't have to go to the corner, he's pretty good inside then.
Coach, you mentioned Marek's finger. I mean, you've got the walking wounded here. How have you managed? How have Quincy, Marek now on the list, and Kadari kind of gone through it? I heard you mentioning it with Matt Park in pregame yesterday. It's kind of a pain tolerance thing, right? You don't want him to get hurt further, but, you know, players want to play, right? And it's just got to be a real balance there. But how have they done it? Yeah, go ahead.
The thing that people don't understand, and why coaches make decisions and then they wonder why so-and-so didn't play. Well, Kadari told me before the game, right before the game, he couldn't play. So we had thought about starting, but I really wasn't going to change the lineup when Joe doesn't play well. We just play Kadari 30, 31 minutes like we did at Georgia Tech or other games like that. But he got in the game. He didn't run very well a few times, so we got Joe back in. The second half, he was a little bit more mobile. But sometimes what you don't see is when he gets tired or he's hurt, he doesn't cover certain shooting areas. And, you know, nobody would be expected to see that. He might still make a steal, but he won't cover in certain areas. And again, the thing that bothers me with, like, Joe, if Kadari doesn't make any shots, nobody mentions that. They say he had four steals or three steals and eight assists, but nobody mentions that he didn't make any shots. Joe gets seven assists, no turnovers. Nobody mentions that because it doesn't fit the narrative that he shouldn't play. As a coach, you have to consider everything, all the things that go in. And the reason I get so upset with Matt Gutierrez is because, first of all, he was in our home several times as a reporter, young reporter. I really trusted him. Now, he's covering us, and he has every right to any opinion he wants to have. But when he says, if Jesse and Kadari were playing more starting, we would be 18-5. That's crossing the line. You've said many times Kadari should play more, but you've never said we'd win a lot more games with him starting. And you're also a talk show host. That's what you do. You have opinions.
Right.
Everybody's a lot of opinion, but when you cover us as a reporter, and you come out and say we would be 18-5 if I was coaching a team, that crosses the line. And, you know, I said he doesn't understand basketball. I emphasize he's 5'2" because he is. And I don't think he understands the game of basketball. I was trying to emphasize that. But he crossed the line when he said we're going to be 18-5. I mean, really?
I don't. Boy, there's a lot to get in. Oh, I saw it, and he said it. So
yeah.
there's a whole world here of covering teams and what you do on social media and what you do in certain places. Matt, in his position, I don't want to speak for him. I would, you know, he can do it for himself. But I think I can speak to, there are forums where he can express his analysis and his opinion. And I think he was expressing that opinion. You know, as you said, I'm a talk show host. I get opinions wrong all the time.
No, that's fine. But when you cover us as a reporter, you can't just take a break and say, well, I'm not a reporter here. I'm just going on social media now. You can't do that because you are a reporter. That's the point.
Would it be crossing the line? I'm just asking the question. I mean, you took a shot at his height. I don't know if calling him 5'2" doesn't mean he can't analyze basketball. I mean, I think that kind of crossed the line.
Emphasize that it wasn't to deride him or anything. He's probably bigger than that. But he doesn't understand the basketball aspects of that I do, which is normal. But your point, if you're a reporter, you're a reporter. You can't be a reporter and come into my house, interview me, and get that, and then be on social media and be free to say anything you want, in my opinion. You may disagree with me, but that's my opinion.
I do, but, you know, we'll leave it at that.
Really? You think you can be a reporter, but then you can go on social media and...
I think if it's a basketball analysis... And he feels
and you
like
you don't think it's crossing the line when he comes out and says we'd be 18-5 if I was picking the line.
I think it's just an estimation. I think it's just Matt saying he feels like if these two were out there, you'd be a better team.
Okay.
You disagree?
Well,
that's how it goes.
I can tell you this: if he'd have played more against Clemson or Bryant or Northeastern or Buffalo, we would have lost those games, in my opinion. We need a smaller, quicker center. And that's my opinion,
with what
I know about basketball.
Okay.
That let me explain why too. Okay.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
What would you do? Alan Griffin's pretty good, right?
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to play 35 minutes, right? Don't you want him to?
If I was in your position, for the most part, yes, absolutely.
Right. Quincy, you want him to play 35 minutes, don't you?
Of course.
I do. Right? Okay. Now, Marek, I need him in the game against presses to cover corners. He's our best passer in the big guys. I need him to play 35 minutes by to win. Okay? That leaves 15 minutes left up front. 15 minutes. So... I like Robert Braswell. I think he brings something to the table in 5, 6, 7 minutes. So now you get 7 or 8 minutes. So if you play Jesse more minutes, you've got to take minutes away from Quincy or Allen or Marek. And you might be able to do that in some situations, but he pretty much fouls out anyway in 15 to 20 minutes right now. He won't in the future, but he does right now. But you still have to sit those other guys, and that's hard to do.
Right, and in this situation, like on Monday, it came up because Allen was struggling. Quincy's hurt, right? So you're trying to balance that out. And when Jesse comes out and has a good game, it kind of tempts people to say, okay, well,
right. And the facts are, Allen was hurt last night.
Right. He's still hurt, too.
And he was 1-for-0 in the first half, right? Right?
Correct.
So those guys are then saying, well, take Allen out, put Jesse in. And what happens?
Right out of the chute, Allen has 9 points.
19 in the second half.
In the second half total, right. Yeah.
So that's what your dilemma is as a coach. A few weeks ago, Pat said, you have to take minutes away from Buddy. He's playing way too much. That was his exact words, okay? You remember that?
I absolutely remember that. Yes.
And what is he shooting from the three of the last 12 games?
He's been
50%.
Right. And he's been over at or near 20 points for the last 5 games. And in that instance, I said to Pat, hey, listen, you know, if Buddy's shooting well, you can't take him out of the game. You know, just flat out. Like you can nitpick a lot of analytics and stats, and
he would have never had him in a game.
Right.
Pat,
Pat's
that's the
point.
Yeah, Pat's Pat, as we know in that case for sure.
And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But he's been proven wrong over the years, almost every year. Jalen Carey should play. This guy should play. And he's been proven wrong every time. So that's the facts that people don't want to look at. And he could be right sometime. I mean, hey, the clock's right twice a day, right? A broken clock. You can be right. If you have opinions about everything, you can be 100% right sometimes. But I can't be a broken. I have to be right more than that. And I make mistakes. I mean, but you don't know it's a mistake. It's like I could have. Allen only played 23 minutes against North Carolina, right? Because he wasn't playing well. Right. I could have thought at halftime, you know, Robert just hit 5 points. I should maybe put Allen and let play Robert, right? But the track record is that Allen's probably going to get going. Maybe not, but let's see. And he got going. He won the game for us.
Well, and there's something about Allen I wanted to ask you about, Coach. And sure. Of course, the big man situation is what it is, so maybe this kind of describes that. But this guy's got 41 blocks. And when you go through the years looking at players that have led your team in blocks, it's I mean, 9 out of 10 times it's going to be a big man. But
he's the smallest guy. He's got the most blocks probably from a small guy in history.
And he's great at the chase down block in particular. He'll come from out of the screen and make a block. It's incredible to watch.
Well, in fairness, he did turn it over to have to make that block, but that's okay.
True. But he made up for it. Yeah.
The other thing is he was moving defensively last night. He was covering people. And you don't see that. The average fan doesn't see that. And he was making coverages. He was helping. And that's why one of the reasons our defense was better. It just was better. But people don't also see that Joe not only had 7 assists, he drew a charge when it was crucial. He made some really good defensive plays at the other end, covering shooters. And when your mindset is that, well, I want this guy to play. You don't look at those. You don't even see those things. They don't register. What registers is what your guy does that you want to play. And I have to look at everything, the whole picture. And it's like I've said all year, we need all three guys to play. And if Joe's playing bad, Kadari's minutes go up. He's played 31, 32 minutes. He played 32 minutes, 31 minutes at Georgia Tech, and we lost by 20. I mean, he's not the answer. He helps us. But our team defense is the answer. And our balance in scoring is the answer for us. And these guys have gotten a lot out of the season. If we had our 3 home games and played like at home like we have been, meaning Florida State, Louisville, and another good team at home, I'm forgetting right now, we lost 3, I think. And
we got Clemson back, right? So it was Florida State.
We got Clemson.
Louisville.
We didn't get Louisville. We didn't get Louisville. It was Louisville and Florida State, 2 home games,
right.
And we lost Louisville on the road when they were coming off a pause, and they got beat by 40 by North Carolina that game, next game, and Wake Forest. But we lost 2 home games that are, you know, obviously highly quality wins. No guarantee we win them, but we're 13-1 at home, so we have a good chance. So that hurts. It's just one of the things that happens. But this team is really overcome a lot. I think they really played well in tough situations. And the interesting thing, we do have a quad one win. Everybody said last night NC State will move into the quad one.
It did today.
We're 11-2 in quad 2-3. And there's a bunch of teams that are picked ahead of us on the mock brackets that are nowhere near 11-2 in quad 2-3. And we have no losses in quad 4, and there's some teams that have quad 4 losses. It's not just how many quadrant 1 wins you have. It's how many good wins you have in the 2s and 3s. And all these quadrant 2 wins that we've had, whether it's Clemson or Virginia Tech, and these are on the cusp of quadrant ones. One of the difficulties you can be a team that's 35 or 32 in quadrant two, and it counts the same thing as a team that's 58.
That's Clemson. Yeah. Clemson's I think 3 points away from being a quad one win for you, right?
And Virginia Tech was two or three away when we played them.
That's right.
So there's a big difference between a quadrant two win like that and 58 quadrant two win. Big difference. You have to look at more drilled down into it. So I think we've got a lot of good wins. And NC State's won five straight games. We were the only team that beat them the last six games or whatever it is. And we beat them down there. So, I mean, we've got some pretty good wins when you look at it. You look at Utah State, they don't have anywhere near the quadrant two and three wins we have. And you can look at other teams, too, but I don't pick anybody out. I mean, Minnesota was rated ahead of us, and they were 0-8 on the road. Now I think they're 0-9 or 0-10. I mean, you got to look at all this stuff, and I don't know what we have to do. I think we're in better shape than most people do. I thought last year we were in really good shape because we had six road wins, and I think that would have played with the committee very well. But we'll see. We'll go and play like we did the last two games. We could get Duke in the first game down there. We don't know. It's still up in the air a little bit. We'll see what happens down there.
All you can do is hurry up and wait at this point, right? Because
if you go down there and you lose a close game to Duke, it's not like, well, we're a bad team. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, Indiana's still on the bubble. They're 11 and they're 7-11, and they've lost to a couple bad teams too. I mean, this is all subjective, and we could be in, we could be out. The committee could decide that we're not quite there. But this team, losing our starting center, not playing him, not being able to play him the whole year, the adjustments that the players have made, and really, we haven't beat North Carolina like once in 10 times, and they beat them. It should have been easy. It ended up not being easy, but it should have been easy. And then beating Clemson easily. It's not like we squeaked out the game. I mean, so I think they've done a lot. I'm really proud of what they've done. And as far as Matt or anybody, it's fine. He has his opinion. I just don't agree that when you're a reporter that you should be able to say Coach Boeheim's team should be 18-5. I don't think that's fair because it could be easily – if we had played Jesse in some of those one-point games like Bryant, it might have turned the game. Might have turned the game the other way. It's a one-point game. And, you know, that's what I have to look at, be able to win the game. I want to play Jesse, and I did. And when he produced, he played well. When he struggled like last night, he didn't play. That doesn't mean he's not going to be good. When I say he's not ready, I mean he's not quite ready to play every game. He might be ready the next game, and the game after that, he might play great. Robert might play good. You know, he had that monster game against Pittsburgh, but then he struggled. So it's kind of a little bit of a guessing game with both of those guys.
And who knows, you might need him in the tournament, in the ACC tournament,
well,
depending on the situation.
Is, you have to come back to understanding you want Allen and Quincy and Marek to be out there about 35 minutes. I mean, somebody could say 30, but I don't agree with that. I think it's 35. Maybe it's 38 with somebody like Quincy. If Allen's going good and playing defense, maybe it's 38 with him. So the issue always, it's easy to say somebody should play more. But when you drill it down and look at the actual minutes, who do you take these minutes away from? And for me, my opinion is I don't want to take it away from those three guys most of the time. And that's how I come out. Somebody else can have a different opinion. That's fine. But I've been doing this a long time. And this is the way I see it, the way the coaches see it. In the end, it's my decision. But we discuss this thing all the time. who's starting, who shouldn't start, and who should play more.
As the sports world turns, right? We talk about that's for sure.
It's fine that everybody out there has an opinion. I don't have a problem with that.
That's what makes it great. Yeah, that's what makes it great.
That's fine. And I wouldn't address it if I didn't think it was all right. I think it's fine, but I'm not going to agree with the opinions. And when I see that, I try to explain why I do what I do, why we play these guys these minutes. And it's really hard for me to take Marek, Quincy, and Allen out of a game. Is they keep us in the games, and that's the way I think it is. And I think we would have won less games if we had played them less minutes. We squeaked out not just a couple games, Bryant, Northeastern, Buffalo. Those were squeakers. We could have lost all three of those games fairly easily. I mean, it was that close. We were behind in two of those three games at the end. So, I mean, I think we needed those guys in to win those three games. If we lost two of those games, we wouldn't even be in the bubble. We wouldn't even be on the planet. So that's what I look at. And I think that Kadari has really been good. He's been hurt a lot. He just hasn't been 100% healthy almost the whole year. His legs, his knees, and he's got to work on that in the off season. He's never run and played a lot. He's been a forward almost his whole life, and that's a different running factor than the point guard spot is. And he's getting better. I mean, he's playing 23 minutes a game. Deion Waiters played 20 minutes a game as a freshman, 18. So it just takes a little time to fit him in.
Got to admit, it's pretty impressive what he's done in a short period of time at that position, though.
Yeah, but you got to look at the total picture.
Oh, sure.
I mean, he's 0 for 8 the last two games or something, isn't he, from the field? I mean, you have to look at the total picture. He does a lot of good things, but he's still evolving as a player, and I think he'll get there. But he's not there yet. But I've got a very strong feeling that he can get there. And when he does play well, he plays a lot of minutes. He plays more than 20. He plays 30 when he's playing really well. So that's where we're at with him.
All right, Coach. Well, you get a little time to rest up, get ready for the ACC tournament. Best of luck there. We'll see how all this goes with the brackets and everything, and we'll keep our eyes on net rankings and all that fun stuff. But thanks for all your time here this season, of course, and we'll be chatting as we go here. But good luck, and get everybody rested up and ready to go for Greensboro next week.
That's what we're going to try to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.